This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Sam Lindo. You're the winemaker at Camel Valley. How are you, Sam?
Very good, very good, very good.
Excellent. We're going to be talking a wee bit about Camel Valley today and winemaking down in Cornwall.
Uh-huh.
But I understand you're the English Winemaker of the Year.
Yeah. 2007 UK Winemaker of the Year. And what that means is that it's done on the three best scores of your three best wines in the United Kingdom Vineyards Association competition, and we came out top.
Fantastic. Normally, I understand Owen Elias has won that quite a bit from English Wine Producers or Chapel Down.
Yeah. He's won it a few times. I think they've got a few more wines to enter, so we really feel like we pulled off a bit of a coup.
Yeah, excellent. Well, it's good to see that you're doing well. You're down in Cornwall. Do you want to tell us, where are you in Cornwall?
We're basically a mile from the direct centre of Cornwall. So we're about the warmest place you can be in Cornwall, but without because we're further away from the sea. We're the right side of Bodmin Moor, not to get too much rain.
Okay, and Cornwall, just for people to know, is sort of south-west side.
Yeah, very south-west of England, so the very bottom left foot part of England.
Again, there's what they call Land's End is not too far away.
Land's End is probably about an hour's drive from where we are.
Right.
So we're near Bodmin.
Okay. Bodmin Moor?
Bodmin Moor. Yeah, if that's what people know.
Okay. And what's the soils like down there? Is it?
Medium loam over Shillet. So what's required for vines, really, for good growth is good drainage.
Yeah, particularly in England. Yeah.
Particularly in England. And then after that, soils might have an effect. But we do have other growers from other parts of England as well. But no one on chalk soil, so all of our grapes come off a medium loam.
Oh, that's surprising, isn't it?
It is. We're sort of wondering whether that does have an effect on acidity. It makes the acid a bit more juicy rather than the harder taste. But we'll see.
Makes your acidity more juicy.
Yeah, I think we have our acidity always comes out juicy. So, it makes your mouth water rather than being quite a hard taste that's harder to drink. So even though we have a slightly higher acidity being in England, it's still very
rounded.
Juicy. Yeah, rounded, yeah.
Okay, interesting. What are the big wines for you guys? Because I know you do some sparklers, you've got some Bacchus, you do a bit of everything, really, don't you?
We do a bit of everything. I always think that our still wines benefit from the fact that we make sparkling. So with our normal white sparkling, the Cornwall Brut, we make a press cut of all the grapes that go into that, and the pressings that come out of the at the end of the pressing are much lower in acidity and have more flavour. And by not putting that into the sparkling, it improves the sparkling. But unlike champagne, we can use that to go into our still wines, and it actually improves the still wine. So we think that we need to make both in order to make good wine.
Okay, so the first bit, which is the free-run juice, really, isn't it?
Yeah, we crush our grapes for sparkling, which is a bit different. I think we have less phenolics in England, so we can afford to crush, which makes pressing a bit easier. So I reckon the first, two-thirds, three-quarters of the juice that comes out of the press will be for sparkling. And then there's a sudden change in the pH level of the juice that's coming out, and then that's when we'll put it into a different tank, and that'll go towards the still wine in our Atlantic Dry.
Okay. And what's your most popular range of wines?
How do you mean the most popular range?
Well, what's your biggest seller or biggest production?
50% of what we make is sparkling, and the other 50% is still wine. And then that's broken down into, 80% of white sparkling and say, 20% rosé, and it's the same with the still wines as well. And we make a little bit of red, just to say we can.
Yeah, okay. You don't try and grow Rondo or anything like that?
We do. We grow Rondo and Dornfelder and Pinot Noir. We've got a Dornfelder rosé sparkling in the pipeline at the minute from 2006, so it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. But I think in England, rosé is really the way to bring the best out of red grapes. The red grapes naturally get strawberry characters and raspberry characters and cherries and anything else that grows in England. The grapes take on those same characteristics, and I think rosé is the best way to preserve those qualities.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of English rosé. I think I've had some nice reds, particularly if they've had a few years to age and soften out, but definitely rosé. It's something that a lot of people don't really talk about, but a couple of years ago I was not a big fan of rosé at all, and it wasn't until I started drinking English rosé I thought, crikey, there can be actually proper rosé wine with nice flavours. And
that's right. And I think in England, most people have made their rosés dry because people aren't making very much wine. So most of them are made dry. And I think that in other parts of the world now, they've started to realise that make rosé as a priority rather than draining off reds, and to improve the reds, they'll have a rosé to... You know, just they've got need something to do with that, with the juice that they drain off. But in England, it's made as a priority, and I think other parts of the world now are making rosé as a priority, and making dry rosé, and I think customers are starting to enjoy that taste.
One of the things I want to touch on a wee bit is about your Bacchus. Quite like your Bacchus, particularly the 06, which is still available, which is quite good. How was it, a big year or?
06 was a massive year. In England, we have, well, I'd say massive. It was the crop levels were comparable to other warmer wine growing regions, and so yeah, it was a big year for England, and you know we were unsure about how the grapes were when they were coming in. You know, thought that maybe the flavours were stretched, but. This is the first time that I've ever really tasted our wines weekly at this point in their life, and we're amazed at how the still wines are aging now.
Yeah, the Bacchus. I had a bottle of it the other week at a tasting, and I thought it tasted pretty good at the tasting. Took it home, and it's been about 4 days in the fridge, just 3/4 of a bottle under vacuvin. So, yeah. And normally that. If a wine's not holding up age-wise, it'll start to fall to bits pretty quick. And it held up really, really well over that period. And when I was drinking it a couple of nights ago, really nice, you know. It softened out. Some of the acidity wasn't quite as severe. And I thought it was a lot fatter and fuller. And I was drinking it against a Sauvignon Blanc, a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, Astrolabe, which Simon Waghorn, which we've had on the show.
Yep.
And it was holding up really well against his wines as well. And his... some of the top savvies out in New
Zealand. Yeah, very good. We're just amazed really at how they're turning out. I think with English wine, white wines, you get a slight honeyed character coming into the wines as they age, and I think after a year it makes the wine a little bit fatter. I think after about 5 years everyone's wines will converge into, you know, a nice honeyed sort of
oxidized.
Well, yeah, but I think, you know, after 2 or 3 years you get that really nice light honey thing, and I think you're right, it just makes it a little bit fatter.
In fact, I think it's probably tasting better now than when it was first released.
Definitely.
Do you think you'd ever consider holding some back for later release perhaps?
It's a tough one. I think that, you know, part of drinking wine is the journey, and I think that that, you know, a lot of people buy a few bottles of wine and they'll try one after they buy it, and then they'll keep trying it, and it's all part of the journey. And I think that by holding it back you might be restricting that kind of thing. And
doesn't help your cash flow either.
Doesn't help your cash flow, but and also the wines are very nice when they're first bottled. I think in England, you know, there's a sort of a style emerging of very light flavoured wines. And I think that people that are aromatic, and I think that consumers now are starting to really like that, and it goes particularly well with English summer's afternoons or seafood, which you get a lot of in England.
Yeah, for sure. Fizz is obviously still a big thing with England. It's what's being planted mostly in the ground. Are you guys doing any more planting or?
Probably a little bit more Pinot Noir. For us, Pinot Noir is a great, fantastic variety to use for pink sparkling, because you, whatever ripeness it is, you get a nice strawberry character. You don't get any greenness. But for the white sparkling, yeah, we still think really that Sauvignon Blanc is the main one.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, it's the problem with, I think, with Chardonnay and Pinot Meunier, it's harder to ripen, and the sparkling wines need a lot more aging, and you get more of a oxidised character. I think using Sauvignon you get those English sort of hedgerow characters, and it means that we can make a sparkling wine that's individual to England that isn't possible in other places, which I think is important, because the mistake people make is trying to emulate other countries.
Sure.
You'll just be a paler imitation, and other countries can't emulate us, and that's what's important.
Yeah. Yeah, I must admit, you're one of the few people I know that do produce a Sauvignon Blanc in a fizz, and it tastes all right. I've had it a few times now. Mm. We've gotten through a bit of it. But you don't really advertise that it's Sauvignon Blanc on the bottle. It took me a while to work out what it was.
No, yeah, we have... the problem with the word Sauvignon Blanc, it's very like Sauvignon Blanc, and I think consumers can be a bit confused with that. There aren't many varieties that grow well in England, apart from maybe the Champagne ones and Bacchus, that have really good names. So I think, yeah, we're probably... So it's for customers, really, having our name on the bottle is what counts, and people knowing what that we make that wine from that blend.
I understand you've taken over from Bob Lindo recently as the manager now, is that right? Or just the winemaking duties?
Well,
because he seems to be, every time I talk to him, he's like, oh, talk to Sam, you know?
Yeah, well, I think in winemaking duties, yeah, it's more me that does a lot of the stuff. But in terms of the whole business, I think it's both sort of completely equal. I think that my dad probably feels the same as me, that he never wants to retire. It's just so interesting, everything. And the biggest problem people have with small businesses is they wish there was more people like them. Well, my dad got that. So, so we have a great time working with each other.
What's coming up in the future for you guys?
In the future, well, it's there's been a big, you know, there's been a lot of planting in England, so it'll be really interesting to see how people's wines develop. For us, we sort of really are trying to aim to stay at the top in terms of quality. I don't know if we want to go much larger in production, because it will mean that it will probably take us further away from the enjoyable parts of the job. So we really like the winemaking, and we really like meeting our customers and doing tours and working in the vineyard. And I think if we go bigger, then we'll start to be stuck in an office pulling levers. So for us, I really like the fact that we're at the beginning of our history at the minute. So, you know, we're creating what people were doing, say, in Champagne 300 years ago. We're doing this for England now. So, we're just trying to sort of make it really good for people in 100 years' time.
Just a wee bit out of you guys, how many acres or hectares do you guys have?
We've got 16 acres of vines at Camel Valley, about 20,000 vines, and then probably another double that in contract growers across the south of England. Crops can be anywhere between nothing. We haven't had a nothing yet to maybe 200 tonnes a year for harvest. So last year was a much lower year. We didn't get any Sauvignon,
yeah,
or very small amounts.
What happened? It was frost, or was it?
It rains.
Yeah.
For months during flowering. And Sauvignon's one of those varieties that when it does crop, it crops big.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't crop, there's nothing.
Okay.
Something like Bacchus, you'll always get a similar amount every year. But yeah, Sauvignon's just
a bit of a risky.
All or nothing. Well, overall, it works out better than everything else. But you just have to put up with those of the odd.
Yeah.
I reckon 1 year in five when it's you'd be pulling your hair out.
Do you make a Sauvignon Blanc just a white wine?
No. So it depends.
Because I've had Sauvignons before, but not.
Well, when we're making a press cut, we'll make the press cut with Sauvignon, and in some years, like 05, it was much better to keep it out of the sparkling. We had a still wine, and then in other years, like 06 and 07, we just put it all in because the acidity was right. So it's really, that's why I was saying earlier about making the two different wines, is that you've got, you can, if it's a good year for one, you can put more grapes to one, and if it's a good year for the other, then you just put more to the other.
And why are you called Camel Valley?
We're in the Camel Valley, so the river Camel runs across the front of the vineyard of the estate, and it's called the River Camel because Cam is Cornish for river, and it used to be called the Cam Allen, and then it's shortened to Camel, and it's all English things happen.
There's nothing about humps or anything like that.
No, nothing about that. So I think it's a good name.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Okay, then Sam, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Brilliant. Cheers. Thank you.